stick up. Father, we just come to you again. Man, it's just so good to come into your presence. And we thank you, Jesus. Because of you, Jesus, we can come into the presence of God. Because of you, Jesus, we have ears to hear. And I thank you, Father, as the word goes forth, the word that is anointed, because your word is anointed, that we have ears and our heart is prepared, and we take hold of this word today, Father. We are going to apply it and be wise men and women. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Okay. You know, when you go, we're doing the book of Proverbs. Guess what today is? January. So you're reading chapter in the book of Proverbs. Amen. How many have been keeping up? One day I had a double up. It was one of those days, okay? Yeah, so it's fun. Somebody came out to me and says, Pastor D, this has really been fun to go through the book of Proverbs. I was like, well, good, me too. I'm just like pulling this stuff out. But as we go through the book of Proverbs, there's certain words that stick out. And obviously, one of them is wisdom, because you saw my demonstration last week, right? Right? Wisdom calls out, okay? So just I love being dramatic, okay? So, all right, really, I'm a very quiet person, okay. So in the book of Proverbs, you will see the word wisdom over and over and over. It's one of those words you're just going to hear. And we said in the first week that wisdom is often described as she, as a woman. So wisdom is crying out. That's just one of those words that you're going to hear over and over and over and over. But you know what's another word that you are going to see over? Not the only word, but another word that you will see a lot in the book of wisdom is money. Everybody say money. I didn't write the book of Proverbs, but it is all over there, money. So today we're going to talk about wisdom and money. Everybody go like this. Wisdom and money. All right? So we're going to talk about wisdom and money, all right? And so wisdom is all in the book of Proverbs and money. And when you start connecting the wisdom of God and money, God's going to do great things in your life, good things in your life, only good things in your life when you connect wisdom and money together. So you're going to see me doing this a lot. All right. Now, you don't use wisdom with your money, it doesn't always end up well. I can tell you a few stories, and I will, all right? But so we are going to talk about what Proverbs says about connecting wisdom and money together. So first week, if you were not here, you missed it. You missed it. I love that. No, really, we had a lot of fun. We went through what is Proverbs, okay? And we finished up talking about the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And I really, if you missed week one, just listen to that, because the day that you have this awareness, this heart that not, oh, I'm afraid of God, but God, I love you. I'm in awe of you. That means I'm in awe of your word and in awe of your wisdom. It will change your life. So that's one, week one. Week two, we talked about wisdom's call. That was Pastor D getting up there yelling all last week. And we said that if wisdom calls, which wisdom calls, especially when you read a book of Proverbs, you're going to see this. But if wisdom calls and you miss the call, what did we say you should do? Call back. Because James chapter 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God. Okay, now you're all up to speed, all right? Here we go. Today, open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Now, we're going to spend most of our time in Proverbs, so just put your bookmark in there, but we're going to start with Ecclesiastes. The same guy who wrote Proverbs, Solomon, right? We talked about that, is the same guy that wrote Ecclesiastes. Here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. Wisdom and money can get almost anything, but wisdom can save your life. Here's what I know about wisdom. You can get money and you just blow it. But you get wisdom and money together, and it's a different story. Matter of fact, we know this story. So Brad has some relatives that won the lottery, okay? So changing names to protect, okay. So we know people. I know Brad, who knows people. But we know people. You read about them in the whatever, and they win the lottery, $100 million, you know, all that crazy amount of money. And a year later, I don't have a penny left. I'm going, are you kidding me? All right? Anybody hear these stories? Talk to Brad. He can tell you some of them. Okay? So, but in the book of Proverbs, so they talk another word. Okay, the book of Proverbs, of course, talks about wisdom. And I just told you it's talking about money. But another word that you'll see in the book of Proverbs a whole lot is the word fool. A fool. And it gives a lot of examples, such as people who win tons of money and they just think it's water. Within a month, within a year, it's just all gone. And the Bible, not Pastor D, calls that person a fool. I don't want to be a fool. Amen? All right. So there is a connection between wisdom and money, all right? Now, you've probably heard me say this a lot in the last couple years, but in your Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you will see the word prayer, love, and faith, and they're mentioned at least 500 times. 500 times, Genesis through Revelation. But listen, in your Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the word money is written 2,500 times. Well, I don't want to talk about money. Well, God talks a lot about money, especially in Proverbs. So how about we find out why money is written 2,500 times, okay? So there's this connection, all right? And if God knew that there's this area that we're all going to bump into, this area of money, if God knew that, then how about Jesus becomes Lord of our money? Pastor Day, but he's Lord of my life. Well, do a little inventory. He needs to be not only Lord of your life in every area, but this area. Jesus Christ, I ask you to be Lord of my finances. All right? And I will tell you personally, that was a growing process for a lot of reasons, and I'll tell you some of them. Okay. So, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my finances, all right? Turn over to Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Proverbs teaches us a few things about money. Listen to this one. Proverbs 3:16. Length of days is in her right hand. So this is wisdom talking. Wisdom is saying, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. Okay, get this picture. Here's wisdom, arms spread out, okay? And wisdom is saying, this is my right hand, and in my right hand, wisdom is saying, this is length of days, long life. So I want to get wisdom. How about you? To live long. And then wisdom cries out and says, and in my left hand is riches and honor. So wisdom is going to grab hold of you if you grab hold of wisdom, and you have riches and honor. Isn't that a beautiful picture? So I want to shoot the holy cows. How about that? For some people that just have this bad taste anytime a preacher talks about money. By the way, I do this once a year, sometimes twice a year. This is it. You're going to hear it, all right? So, they do this all the time. No, they don't. Okay. Interesting. We need to have the right attitude with wisdom and money. You have to have the right attitude with money, righty? And if you're really paying attention in the book, in Jesus, when he tells the parables in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus tells these parables, 3/4 of them have to do with money. It's sure quiet around here. Just smile at me, all right? And he talks about how you handle money, what you do with money, and he talks about your heart towards money. Jesus, 3/4 of the time when he's telling a proverb, okay? So, guys, God is interested in money, and he's interested in your heart, and he wants to bless you, but this has to get tweaked a little bit. So why people struggle with money, okay? Why people, church people, because maybe they've gone to a church and that's all they talk about, money every week. They just want to take your money and what happens if you have that, you end up with a bad heart and a bad attitude towards money, okay? So I want to settle it today, all right? So open up to Luke chapter 12. This is my message on money. Here we go. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Jesus is saying this. And if Jesus says it, it's settled, right? Then he, Jesus, said, beware. Everybody say, beware.
Beware.
Like, you're like, what? Okay. Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Okay, let's read it again. Beware, guard against every kind of greed. So that means there's different kinds of greed. There's different kinds of greed. And think about that. You'll go, yeah, I think so, okay. All right, so guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. So we could say money isn't everything. That's, you know, that's just a small version of that. Money isn't everything. So let me tell you a story. Probably about 5 years ago, 8 years ago, a good friend of mine, her dad was in his late 90s, and he was at home and he was getting ready to pass. They had the nurses in there and they go, you know, dad's not going to be around too much longer. So my girlfriend and her, she was one of six girls in a family. That must have been fun. So all the sisters, all the daughters, you know, come, and they all come in, and they're in the room together with dad, and he's in his late 90s, and he's ready to pass. And, you know, it's a solemn moment. And then, you know what happened next? Every single one of those girls started dialing their phone to all their children, the grandchildren, and every single one of those grandchildren had a FaceTime with Grandpa. Yeah, I've been in a few of those rooms to say goodbye. Now, I want to tell you, Grandpa wasn't sitting there thinking, oh, I wish I worked longer, made more money. What was Grandpa thinking? Man, my family. At the end of life, you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, and you're thinking about family, okay? So, but, you know, lots of people, their focus is, I want to make money. But I will tell you, I have been at the sides of beds, and they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about family, okay? Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah is a prophecy. And in the Old Testament, God only spoke, say only spoke to the kings and priests and prophets, the kings and the prophets. And when I was in children's ministry, we had this big fake ear. And I'd walk around and I'd say, I'm the prophet and God is speaking to me. So here is Isaiah, the few that would hear from God as a prophecy. Listen to what he says. He's hearing from God and he's speaking this out. Ready? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to what? Who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. So do not ever underestimate wisdom and money, okay? Because God is saying, if you connect this the right way, I will teach you how to profit. God is interested in getting you to profit, abundance. He's absolutely interested in that. All right, so we're going to talk about three areas that have to do with wisdom and money, and maybe not the ones you thought about. So we're talking about wisdom connected with money. If you're taking notes, this is the first area we're going to talk about. Ready? Wisdom and work. Pastor D, I thought we were talking about wisdom and money. Oh, no, Bubba. There is a big connection. Ready? Wisdom and money. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. Proverbs 6, verse 9. We're talking about wisdom to work. Wisdom to work. How long will you slumber? This is slumber means sleeping, and this is wisdom talking. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? And in the Hebrew, that word sluggard means lazy. A person who has a tendency to be lazy. All right? How long will you sleep, you lazy bones? My dad used to say, you bunch of meatballs. When he's, I don't know, you know, we weren't Italian, and but he liked meatballs. But, you know, when he called you a meatball, I mean, you were a lazy bone. So how long will, I still hear his voice. How long will you slumber, you lazy bones? Okay, will you rise? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need to like an armed man, all right? God doesn't want any of us, doesn't matter who you are or what age you are, to be a slugger, a meatball, right? Okay, and you know what people say a lot? Well, you know, Pastor, this young generation, they don't want to work. They're a bunch of lazy bones. Guys, every generation says that about the younger generation. If you're young, they're talking about you, but you get to tell them. They're talking, you know, every generation says that, okay? So don't go categorizing young people. Matter of fact, the young people that I know in our congregation, they're working jobs. They're working jobs that you didn't raise your hand for. And they're working shifts you didn't want to. They're not a bunch of meatballs. Amen. Okay, so I want to give you the answer to not be a lazy bones, to not be lazy, okay? And this is found in the New Testament. This is your answer, so don't, for not to be lazy and not to be a slugger. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. This is the answer. Colossians 3, verse 22 to 24, Colossians 3. Servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Now, today, we would say, hey, employees, obey in everything for those who are your boss, right? So that's how you'd interpret that. Not only when their eyes are on you as pleasers of men, but in simplicity of purpose, with all your heart, because of your reverence for the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, and a sincere expression of your devotion to Him. Okay. So watch the next part, right? Whatever may be your task, or whatever is your job, raise your hand if you have a job. If you're a boss, you got a job. You're over people, okay? So whatever is your job, work at it heartily, or with your whole heart. Okay? From your soul, as something done for the Lord and not for men. Praise God. So, this is your homework tomorrow. Tomorrow, I am going to go to work, and I am working not for my boss, not for this company. I am working for the Lord. The Lord Jesus that died on the cross for me. The Lord Jesus that came after me and covered, washed my sins away. And I owe Him everything. Tomorrow when I go to work, I'm working unto the Lord. Amen? Yeah. All right, verse 24. Knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive an inheritance, which is your real reward, the one whom you are actually serving is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Okay, I want to tell you a story. So, it takes many years to become a wise person, or else you just go on the straight and narrow. But let me tell you, I wasn't always really wise about this. But it was my first summer, oh no, my first Christmas in college. So my freshman year, it's December, and we have a break. And then we had like 4 weeks off or 5 weeks off, just crazy. So I went and got a job at the mall at the most expensive girls' shop, girls' clothing only. And I don't remember the name of the store, but I was like, oh, man. So they hired me to work the Christmas break, and I was like, I'm going to get money, and they have this amazing discount if you work there, okay? And I'm just going to buy clothes. I'm just going to go buy clothes. Okay, no wisdom, right? That's not wisdom, right? And I still did not know Jesus. Jesus was not my personal Lord and Savior, and, you know, just wisdom backdoor, all right? So all I did was like, I'm going to make money and spend money. I'm going to make money and spend money. All right? Yes? Okay. Okay. Then a couple years later, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm living off campus at college in a house with four other girls. And I get a job, guess where? On campus. In the cafeteria. You know why? Free food. I know Jesus then, by the way. I have asked Jesus in my life. Number one, free food, a little bit of wisdom there. So I'm doing that, and the boss who ran the cafeteria dated my girlfriend, and I knew he was a Christian, and he knew I was a Christian. And one day he calls me in, and he says, you know that whole bunch over there that think I don't see, that are all goofing off, a bunch of goofballs. And he said to me, stop being a goofball. Oh, praise the Lord. And he whips out this scripture, Colossians 3, and he reads it to me. Okay, and he talks, he was a really soft-spoken person. And you know those people that are soft-spoken person and their voice gets softer? Really, they're yelling at you. You know, so he's getting softer, and he reads the scripture, and he says, hey, listen, you are working for the Lord, unto the Lord, whether I'm watching or I'm not. So he said a few other things, get your act together, okay? And I want to tell you, that changed the way I worked from that day forward, okay? Changed the way. I had ears to hear. I was hearing wisdom, and I decided to take it. And that day forward, I just, you know, wherever I work, I'm working 100% in there. And because of that, it was interesting. I've watched through the years, because I just give it my all, then I'd get a promotion or I'd get a raise. And I didn't, you know, that wasn't why I was doing it. I was working for my Savior, my Jesus. I was working unto the Lord. Okay, so with that in mind, have you ever heard of this? It's big. The entitlement. The entitlement, there's a culture of entitlement out there in the world, and I, especially in the United States. They are, you owe me. I deserve. You owe me entitlement, all right? Entitlement. Now, does that sound like Colossians 3? Not at all, not at all, okay? So the entitlement culture, this mentality, is just not God. Culture. That is not. And this is the time you are anti-culture, okay? You are not going to follow that because I've received Jesus Christ in my life. I hear the voice of wisdom and I am going to work unto him. Instead of you owe me, okay? By the way, in case you don't know this, if you have a job, okay, your boss is only required to pay you for the job you did. Not, you owe me, I deserve this, I deserve da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, just, okay, moving on. So let me tell you about entitlement culture. Open up to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, say that times fast, okay. This is what the New Testament teaches about this entitlement culture. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. This is the Apostle Paul. For while we were yet with you, so Paul is visiting this church, and he's probably got Titus, and I forgot who he's hanging out with. So he says, while I've been with you, I was with you for a long time. While I was with you, and you know, we were hanging out, and we were studying the Word of God, and we were out doing ministry. While I was with you, we gave you this rule and charge. Okay, any parents give your kids some rules? Anybody, any parents have your house rules? Yeah, okay, any employees, does your boss have some rules? All right, okay, just checking. Okay, so while we were with you, we gave you this rule. And by the way, this rule has not changed over the decades. Listen to this, here's the rule. If anyone will not work, neither let them eat. I didn't write this, okay? So he's saying if you don't work, you don't eat, except for if you live in the United States of America. Okay. Now, I know, and please, I know people that because of disabilities that are unable to work, but as my dad was saying, you don't eat, you don't work. Meatballs. Okay. Turn over to Proverbs 10. Pastor D, be nice. I am. I'm just reading the Word of God. Proverbs 10. Okay, Proverbs 10. Listen to this, what it says, okay? Proverbs 10:4. He becomes poor. Everybody say poor. So he's going to tell you how you become poor. He becomes poor who works with slack, idle hands. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Okay? So if you're lazy, you're going to end up in poverty, right? If you're lazy, you're going to end up in poverty. But if you are diligent, God will bless you. It's real simple. Proverbs is simple, okay? So I love kids, you know, the house is a wreck, and I'm like, okay, everybody, it's time to clean up. And I would always have one that would just walk and just pick up one little thing, walk all the way over, and I'd whip this scripture out of them, okay? And then next thing you know, they're picking up things, okay? Just teaching you a little bit about parenting, praise the Lord. All right, Proverbs 10. Okay, Proverbs 12. Jump down to that. Proverbs 12:11. Same meaning. Proverbs 12:11. Those who work the land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies and the lotto. Oh, yours doesn't say that? Oh, sorry. Those who chase fantasies have no sense, okay? Living in any fantasies, like you're chasing any fantasy. Oh, I'm going to be a million billionaire someday, or I'm going to be, you know, have whatever. If it's a fantasy, you're going to have no sense, okay? So what God wants you to have his wisdom on your money, chase after that, and he's going to bless you. Ditch the fantasies. Okay, last one for this wisdom to work, Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14:23. I love this. Ask my kids. They probably have heard this 10 zillion billion times. I love this. Ready? All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk only lives to poverty. In other words, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap, okay? But work hard and you will profit. Really simple. I love raising four kids how to work, okay? All right. So we are connecting wisdom and money, and the first one is wisdom to work. Here's your second one if you're taking notes. Wisdom to honor. Wisdom to honor. Now, let me ask you this. Hard work, you get a paycheck. Then what? Okay? You work hard, you get a paycheck. Then what? Okay? Now, like me back then, I was working at the clothing store. Oh, goody, goody, goody. I'm getting a paycheck. I'm going to blow it. Okay, I wasn't. I was buying clothes, okay? Now, if you're living at home and your mom and dad let you get away with that, you can do that maybe, okay? But as an adult, you're getting your money and you're just spending all of that. You're just spending every paycheck. Not good ending. Not good ending, okay? Matter of fact, here at YCF, we recommend Dave Ramsey course. Anybody hear of Dave Ramsey? If you have not, just write that name down, Dave Ramsey, okay? Back in the day, like 30 years ago, the guy was Larry Burkett. How many hear of Larry Burkett? He was the envelope system. Take your paycheck out, mark your envelopes, and stick your money in there, okay? But here's Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey, and it's called the 10-10-80. Okay? 10, 10, 80. Write that down. 10, 10, 80. So 80% of the money that you have earned, your paycheck, however you get your money, 80% you pay your bills. Did everybody say, pay your bills. Pay your bills. And if you have a little left over, don't go blowing it. Just, okay? So that's 80%. 10% belongs to the Lord. That's called your tithe. 10%. Not hard math. Guys, okay? And then there's another 10%, and that goes into savings. Okay? You do that, it's going to be good. All right, so we're talking about wisdom and honor, okay? You got your paycheck, what happens next? All right, look at Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord. Everybody say honor. Honor's an interesting topic these days. I'm not sure people understand this. But honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with what? With your wealth. That means income. With the first fruits of all your crops. So I am going to honor the Lord with the first of my income. I am going to honor the Lord with the first of my income. Okay? And then what? Okay. So if I honor the Lord first with my income, first, the tithe first, then what? Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with the new wine. So, here we go. If I honor the Lord first, you know, with what belongs to him is the tithe, and we'll talk about God will bring blessings on your life. It's real simple, okay? Now, I am not, I am not arguing with people about the tithe, okay? I'm going to say, go to the bookstore, go read your Bible, go dig in all these scriptures, okay? I've had people argue with me, well, Pastor D, that was the old covenant, and I live in the new covenant. I do not have to tithe. You know, anytime somebody's got their hands on their hips, ay, ay, ay. And this is what I tell them. Yes, tithing is all over the old covenant, okay? And yes, Jesus talked about tithe. And yes, Hebrews, that's the epistles. So if you're a New Testament person, this applies to you, okay? So, in Hebrews it says, when men receive tithe, then he receives them, all right? So you are not tithing to a church, per se. Listen, you're not tithing to a person. We are tithing to him. Everybody put your hands up. It's where the tithe is. The tithe goes to him, okay? And until you get that, you're like, oh, dang it, they got another message about money. No, I am going to honor him. Praise God. All right, now, let me say this. Everybody just keep smiling at me. The tithe, your first fruits, belong to who? Say that one more time, just checking. Okay, so I'm going to say this. You do not split your tithe. Oh, I'm going to split my tithe, and I'm going to give, 60% to the church. And then we just had a guest speaker at YCF. I'm going to give that to him. No, no, no. The tithe, all that tithe goes to who? And then above that, you bless our guest speakers. And by the way, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I get thank you notes for all our guest speakers. We had Todd Levin, Mary Holland. Mary Holland called me up. She's like, Pastor D, you just blessed us. I didn't bless you. Y'all gave above the tithe and blessed our guest speakers, okay? But first, okay, I'm going to honor God first, and he gets all of that, okay? And then above that, if you feel like it, well, I don't want to say don't feel it, but you pray about that, then you can bless others, okay? All right, say, I still love you, Pastor D. Okay, so we honor the Lord with the tithe. The tithe belongs to him. Let me tell you what's happened in the past. Jack, this happened to Jack, this happened to me once, but it happened to Jack a couple times. People will come up to me with a check, and they go, Pastor D, this is my tithe for you. And they even wrote on the bottom of it, in the memo, tithe to Pastor D. And I tried talking to them, and it's like, meh, meh. So you know what I do? Sign my name to the back of that check, take it down to the church, because the tithe goes to the storehouse where you're planted. I don't take that. I'm not touching that, okay? So that doesn't happen too often anymore because I think we're teaching better, okay? If you're taking notes, write this. Tithing is returning to God what is his. Yep, think on that one. Tithing is returning to God what is his. Turn over to Proverbs, New Testament, Philippians 4:19. Okay, some of you already know this one, but Philippians 4:19. This is the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he says, Philippians 4:19. And this same God who takes care of me. This is Paul, and he says, the same God who takes care of me, listen to what happens, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus, all right? So God wants to take care of you guys. God wants to take care of you. He does. And, I've had people going, oh, God doesn't want to take care of you. You just talk about money. These churches that talk about money. You're just of the devil, Pastor. Well, I've served the devil for 21 years. And then I gave my life to the Lord. And I have dedicated my life to the Lord. I am serving him, and I get to serve you all. I am not of the devil, but I will teach you the word of God because I care for you, and I want God wants to just bless you, all right? Turn over to 2 Corinthians. I'm moving along. We only had 18 scriptures to do. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God will generously, everybody say generously. Generous. I like generous. Anybody like generous? Not a smidgen, not a generous. And God will generously provide all you need. Right there, you should go home. Just say that. God, just, you know, I love that. And God will generously provide all you need. So God will generously provide all you need. And then, watch the then, you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. We as a church at YCF, we give to other ministries. We give overseas. We give local, obviously you know about Harvest of Blessing and then Life Path, because they are our needs in this community and they're meeting them. So we get to give to their ministries, okay? And then we give overseas. And we're trying to, we've asked Christopher Lam, which we've supported, but he supports orphanages in India. So we give to help others in need. And the reason why we are able to do that, number one, our building's paid for. Tell you what. Yay. All right. So we are endeavoring to give to others in need. Right? We give to others in need, right? And it's because of your generosity. It's just it. Okay. All right, Pastor D. Number three. So we have wisdom to work, wisdom to honor. Here's our last one: wisdom to trust. So we're talking about wisdom and money. And this is like subtitle: wisdom to trust. Now, let's be honest, as Pastor Sherry says, let's be honest, Mom. I said, Mom, we better not be lying, but let's be honest, okay? Without God's wisdom, we will do shortcuts. Has anybody ever hired a contractor? Have a story to tell? Contractor, and they start doing shortcuts, right? And you're like, what? And there's a lot of words in the what. So before I sold my house, In York, New Salem, I was doing some renovations so I could sell it. So I hired this contractor who, he knew Jack well, and I knew him. Okay, the rest of you who know, just stop thinking who this is, okay? They're not here, okay? So I hired him, and by the way, I am not a contractor, but listen, I watched before Flip the House and renovation, Bob Villa, this old house. I learned how to frame doors. One time Jack was doing it. I said, no, Bob says this. Okay, so I've watched a lot of these. So I have this contractor, and he's doing a renovation, and I'm watching him, and he's doing some shortcuts. He's doing, I used to call slap and tack. And I'm like, because I know what Bob said. So I, very nicely, not going to come out this way right now, I go, what are you doing? That's not the way you do it. Now, I didn't say it like that, okay, because I'm dealing with contractors. Okay, so, and he goes, you're doing it wrong. You're doing slap and tack. You know, this is the way you should be doing this. And he goes, anyway, he had an attitude, okay? And I said, you need to fix this. What do you know, Bob Villa? But I knew. And I actually called the person I should have called, who I had to end up by calling. And I said, and he goes, yeah. So I told this guy, I said, listen, this is not good. And he goes, whoa, I'm a Christian. I said, you're fired. Yeah. And that was it. Okay. And to this day, I'm going to say this. When I have a job to do, I don't really care if you're a Christian. That's really sad. And I will ask you, what are your last three jobs? Give me the phone numbers. And I'm going to call and find out if you were doing shortcuts. Guys, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to work always unto the Lord our best, whether they're in church or out of church, okay? Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Shortcuts, praise God. All right, Proverbs 11:1. You know, it's really funny about contractors, too. Whenever I hire them to come in my house and do something, or they go, well, the last person was an idiot. Did you see what they did? I was like, they all criticized the last person they're called in. But I had one guy come in, and he goes, they did a good job. I was like, yes. Okay, again, I've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of my life. I am going to work unto him, whether I own the business, how I treat my employees, or I'm doing business, or on the job, I'm going to do my very best. What do they call that when you get the performance evaluation? Just think about every job how you score on your performance evaluation. It'll like, whoo, praise the Lord. Okay, y'all, Proverbs 11:1. Pastor D, you were lost. I know. Okay, we're talking about wisdom and money. And this one, we're talking about wisdom and trust. Here you go. A false balance and dishonest business practices are extremely offensive to the Lord, but an accurate scale is his delight. Okay? Dishonest business practices, all right? So that just simply means no shortcuts, no slap and tack. I used to tell Jack, no duct tape on everything, buddy. Bob Vila said so, okay? Yeah, okay. So wisdom and I'm going to trust the Lord to do my very best in everything, all right? I'm going to be honorable. Proverbs 10:22. The blessings of the Lord. Raise your hand if you want the blessings of the Lord. I got both hands up, babe, you know. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich and adds no sorrow with it. Listen, we have watched people get rich and they lose their whole family. Just read the tabloids. Just go, you know, I never read them. Okay, now we swipe. Okay, but people who make a ton of money, they have lost their kids, they've lost their marriages, they've lost everything. Okay, but God says right here, let's read again. The blessings of the Lord makes a person rich and adds no sorrow. So if you are honoring God and you are trusting him with your finances, he will bless you. And there's no sorrow in it, okay? And for all of you, that sometimes that's a balance of work and home. Okay, Lord, I'm just turning the light off in my office because this is part of the getting things in order, all right? We are doing great. Proverbs 13:11. Dishonest money dwindles away. Dishonest money dwindles away. But whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. So if you're like me, you know, as college, I'm just making money and spending money. I'm making money, spending money. It's gone. It's gone, all right? Spending. But if you do the right thing and you just work at it little by little, God promises, it says right here, it'll grow. God, y'all that have kids, this is where you start when they're real little. I'm teaching this stuff. This is foundational. Okay, so to wrap it all up, it's my last scripture. Number 18, here we go. We're going to read a scripture in Proverbs that just kind of sums all of this up, okay? Just kind of summarize all of it. And, you know, as a Christian, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a representative, as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to do everything right with my money, okay? I want to not dishonor God with what I do with my money. As a business owner, as a believer that's a business owner, I want to honor God on how I do business. No slap and tack, right? Okay, so this is, all right? And by the way, at YCF, we're on this. Like, we want to honor God on the monies that come through this church. First, we tithe on that, okay? If you notice, but my ushers, there's always two people that take money downstairs and lock it up. I have money counters. I think we call them the money counter girls. They're so fun. They're the funnest bunch of girls. Okay, they come in. We always have two girls counting money because we're going to honor God. And then this particular person over in the corner, we work in, you know, we go over the monies and the bills and stuff. And every once in a while, a couple times a year, we have questions like, is this the way we're supposed to do this? Or is that the way we're supposed to do that? Always in our heart, God, I want to honor you. So we have called the IRS. Well, actually, we have a friend who calls the IRS for us. And he always goes, hey, good buddy. How many of you start talking to the IRS like that? You know, you have a different name. But we want to find how to do money honorably. And, you know, I've had accountants, not this one, come to me and says, well, Pastor D, this is just kind of gray area. You can do it. This is gray. You can get away with that. Oh, no. I'm like, You're not my accountant, okay? I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I am going to honor him in every area of my life. I'm going to honor him on how I personally do finances and how we use finances that come into this church. We are good at this. Praise God. Okay, just thought you should know, right? You should know that. All right, so we are going to read one scripture, and then we're going to pray, okay? But we're going to read this together, and we did this last week. This is my old Catholic days. Everybody stand up. Stand, kneel, stand, kneel, stand, kneel. Then we're going to stand up for a moment. They're going to put this on the screen, Proverbs 3. We're going to stand and read this together. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Yeah, you know, wiggle your toes. Okay. We're gonna read this, and you might be tempted to leave, but wisdom yells, don't. Okay, we're gonna read this together on a count of three. You ready? One, two, three. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing in your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. All right, you can be seated. I know, you needed to wiggle, okay. I don't believe you ever hear a message where you're like, and from the Lord, and you're like, and scriptures, which is the word of God, I didn't get anything out of that, Pastor D. Don't you love kids? What'd you learn yesterday at school? I didn't get anything, okay. I don't believe that you can sit through scriptures and say, I didn't get anything out of that, all right? I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts when you open your hearts. So, just bow your heads, close your eyes. This is a time where you get quiet and you ask the Lord, is there any adjustments that I need to make, all right? Does God want me to make an adjustment in how I work? Does God want me to make an adjustment in that I work unto the Lord? Does God want me to make an adjustment to work hard and change my attitude? Does God want me to trust him more? Does God want me to honor him with my tithe? Whatever. This is just quiet. Just bow your heads, close your eyes, and just get quiet and say, Lord, what adjustments do you have? You know, Lord. Okay, now, if the Lord speaks to you and says, yeah, this is an adjustment, this is how easy your adjustment is. You ready? Father, forgive me. Now I will do whatever he spoke to you. That's how easy it is to make an adjustment. Father, forgive me, and now I will. Now I will make an adjustment, and I will go the right way. I will be honorable. I will walk in wisdom. So while your heads are bowed, I just want to pray for everybody that's here. There's people watching online. We thank you. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us change our hearts. Help us to take the steps we need to take. Help us to bring change in our lives, so we can do what you're wanting us to do concerning our finances. Father, we want to please you above all else. Father, we want your wisdom. So just, you know, nobody's moving. Just get real quiet. It's just between you and Jesus. Praise God. What's he speaking to you? Just adjust. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you speak to our hearts. Thank you, Father, for just opening our eyes to your wisdom on a topic we shouldn't shy away from, on a topic that you want to just pour blessings through this, through finances. Lord, you want to continue to bless us. So we thank you, Father, for this day, for this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, Some people will say, oh, the most important part about coming to church is to hear Pastor D teach. And some will say, no, the most important part is the worship time. Right now is the most important time. And I just want you to just be really still, because I'm going to ask a question. And if you're moving around and God's talking to somebody, God's speaking to somebody's heart, and you're moving around, it's going to distract them. It's going to distract them. And now it's all about you because you're moving around. So I just say, just be still, because I know the Lord continues to speak to hearts. And I just want to ask this question to everybody here. Have you asked Jesus personally to come into your life? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And Jesus came so everyone, you and I, could have a personal relationship with him. And guys, I went to church for like 21 years religiously, and I didn't know I needed a personal relationship. I didn't even know I needed it or how to do it until somebody shared this with me. So I'm asking again, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Have you asked him to come into your life? All right. And you might say, well, you know, but start a sentence with a but, you're not doing good. But Pastor D, you know, I'm a mess up. Hey, we all are. And that is why Jesus came. Because we were messed up. We were far from God. We had sin in our lives. We were separated. And Jesus came to close the gap. He came so that you could have your sins forgiven and then have a relationship with him. So today I'm asking, if you're here and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, if that's you, today's a good day. And maybe you're here and you'd say, you know, Pastor D, years ago I was a kid, or I was at youth camp. We do this at youth camp a lot. And I had a relationship with Jesus, Lord, but, you know, I've just kind of drifted. I've just drifted and I've forgotten to put him into my life. I am far from him. Well, today is a good day to say, Jesus, I'm coming back. So here's my invitation. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I want a relationship with Jesus. Or you're here and you say, Pastor D, I've put Jesus down the road and I'm ready to come back, okay? Well, in order to do that, it's really simple. The Bible says you need to repent. Okay, and repent simply means I'm just going to change the way I think. I'm going to change the way I've been doing life, okay? So repentance simply is a heart that says, you know what, Jesus, I need you, and I'm going to change and go your way. I see this way is not working, and I'm going to go this way. So everybody just keep your eyes closed. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I want to receive Jesus, good, today's the day. If you're here and you say, Pastor D, I want Jesus, I want to come back, I want to get my life right, good, today's the day. So I want you to say this prayer after me. Say it from your heart. Say it so you can hear it. So say it from your heart, okay? And we're all going to say this together, all right? So everybody say, Lord, I repent of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. And I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior, to be my Lord. And from this day forward, I will follow you. I will walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the wonderful thing that happened, if you prayed this for the first time, you are now a child of God. You are now a child of God. You just need to say, I'm a child of God. I'm one of God's kids. I've been chosen, hand-picked, and I am awesome, all right? And if you pray this as to rededicate your life to come back to him, you need to say, I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven, and I'm awesome, okay? And the Bible says anyone that prays that prayer, especially the first time, it says all of heaven just celebrates. They're just, oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. So we want to say praise God, welcome to the family of God. And we have a Bible for you up front. I've got some altar ministers that are going to come on up. I forgot about that. Come on. You know, I forget these things. But we want to give you a Bible, and we want to pray with you, and we just want to bless you. So if you prayed that prayer, Father, I thank you It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a new life. They are new creatures in you, Father. They have a bright hope and a future. And they are forever your children, and you are forever their Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, stand up. Lord, I thank you for everybody here. They are just so full of wisdom and oozing out of them. I thank you, Father, they just distribute wisdom as they apply it in their life and share it with everybody. If you would like prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you. Go and have an awesome day. In Jesus' name, amen. Coffee is good. Lots of goodies back there to share.